everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Coming up on this week's show, later we're going to be joined by the host of the brand new official podcast from Marine, Tom Clark, will be joining us. But before that, it's to managerial news, and Ilkeston Town manager Martin Carruthers has put pen to paper to a brand new two-year extension at the club. And for more on this, Martin should be joining us now down the other end of the phone. Well, Martin, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on this new two-year deal with the club. How do you feel?
Absolutely buzzing. It's something that I've always wanted. You know, we was in talks last season, you know, leading up to the FA Cup run. But obviously with COVID and the financial situation, you know, it was difficult for the club to commit to that. And I understood that. You know, they've been absolutely brilliant with me. Dave, you know, Andrew and Mark, they've backed me to the hilt financially with players and give me everything, you know, I needed to try and make the club successful. So, you know, it's a huge thanks to them. You know, it's a statement of intent, you know, to commit to a two-year deal at this level. You know, and I want to repay them with the success that the club deserves. The supporters, everybody involved with the football club has been absolutely top draw in what has been another crazy season. But nothing changes. You know, our plans are to try and achieve promotion once we get up and running again. And that's the only plan. So, yeah, onwards and upwards. And it's great news from Boris. And, you know, everyone's smiling again.
And you mentioned there how turbulent everything is at the moment. A deal like this, and we've had a couple of managers come on from Workington and Clitheroe who've had similar extensions to their contracts as managers at their clubs. I mean, it gives the club a bit of stability, doesn't it? And means that you could properly plan for once we do get back underway.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've always wanted. You know, it's very difficult to come into a new football club when I did. And then obviously then we rebuilt last year with a whole squad of new players. And I thought we did reasonably well. But now, you know, if we can retain 90-95% of the players from last year, I'm looking to add two or three real quality this season, then, you know, we're going to be a real force. And obviously, we know the likes of League, you know, Kidsgrove, Worksop, Belper, Stamford. You know, there's some top sides in this league. And if you look at League and Stamford, the two sides over the last two seasons that probably should have been promoted, they've had consistent sides, consistent players. The managers have been there for a set number of years, and they've built quality squads. And to be successful, you have to have some kind of consistency and stability. And I think we've got that now at Ilkeston, you know, with all the infrastructure, potential new 3G going in for the summer, all the new foundation, the community scheme. It's a fantastic place to be, and it's going to be a growing community and a strong club with a fantastic fan base in the coming years.
And you mentioned the off-the-pitch developments. I mean, it feels like you're part of, and you are obviously part of the bigger picture of the club, but you mentioned the launch of the new Manor Foundation and you know, what that's going to bring to the club and the 3G pitch as well. It's all heading in the right direction, isn't it, as a club at Ilkeston?
Yeah, and it was a no-brainer because the initiatives, certainly now with COVID, and I know they've already started the dementia project and the mental health projects, but it's a thriving community. And, you know, just with the amount of grassroots teams we've got, I think we're down from under eights all the way up to under 18s. We've got the academy, we've got the 23 side. It then gives everybody an opportunity to train and play on a quality surface, and that will certainly aid their development. And we want to get back to nurturing and developing players like, you know, your Che Adams, and get players sold and really boost the profile of the football club, because clubs will ultimately come and look at these young players. There's that many players now that get missed, that miss the boat through these academies, and there isn't gems out there, and we've got one or two in our academy already. So, you know, hopefully, you know, in the coming years, we can get some of them into the first team and get them on a professional pathway along the way as well. But yeah, it's just such an exciting time, you know, in such a turbulent time that, you know, a club at a time like this can still, you know, start new developments and offer so many opportunities to the local community.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, there's plenty of managers, including yourself, who get really excited about those pathways that can be developed. And we've seen it at Hyde as well. It just brings, having a pitch like that, where you invite the community clubs in and the various teams within the club as well, it's a breath of fresh air amongst the club, and it really rejuvenates the place.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, when was it Basford? You know, I know Tiffy did more coaching with the younger side than I did, but just seeing the parents, the young players, you know, they come and speak, you see the young players getting to see the first team train, or just even being around the first team, seeing the dressing room, seeing the facilities, it's massive for those young players, because ultimately, you know, the ones that don't quite make it into the academies, we want them in the Ilkeston Academy. You know, we want them, you know, aspiring to get into our first team. You know, and that's got to be the benchmark for all our young players. You know, can they get into the Ilkeston first team? You know, can we then develop them into quality first team players? Can we then sell them on to higher division football clubs? That just helps everybody. And if you've got a fantastic, you know, training facility and a fantastic club, and with all the developments, with the changing rooms and the stuff that the guys, the owners have done, you know, over the past year, it's been a phenomenal turnaround, and you know, it's just a fantastic place to be at the minute.
Yeah, I bet it is. And unfortunately, though, I mean, that's all about the future and things that we can look forward to. At the minute, though, we've obviously got this COVID situation. I know we've caught up at various times during this season already. But how are you keeping at the moment, and how are you keeping the squad active from afar without being in contact with them?
I mean, to be honest, we had a great December in terms of training and preparation. We've moved to some online Zoom sessions that the lads were engaging in twice a week. But once we were able to train again, you know, we got a quality 3G that we could train on, and we worked really hard. And we'd got some real organisation and some tactical knowledge into the lads, certainly out of possession. You know, we looked really solid and compact. And we went away to Gainsborough, and I know it was only a friendly, but I think it was probably our best performance of the season, and we were itching for the league to restart so that we could hit the ground running, but unfortunately it never happened. Obviously, because of the current situation now, you know, they've all been told just to stay at home and do their own thing, with a little bit of guidance from our S&C coach who sent them all some programmes. But you know, once we get the update from the league, hopefully in the next coming days, we can then start to personalise those programmes and then sort of have a phased return to competitive training once the government restrictions allow us to. But, you know, as you mentioned earlier, if we can get, you know, some friendlies in and some kind of competitive fixtures just to give them a little taste, you know, before the current season ends, that would be great. But if not, you know, we'll still get them in training so we can get together and have a feel of that ball. Because, like you say, it's going to be, you know, for summer, a year without football. And we know how important pre-season is, and we have to manage it right to make sure players don't get injured and we don't, you know, overextend them too early, too soon. So it's all going to be planned, you know, accordingly to make sure that, you know, once we do restart, we're firing on all cylinders.
And how much planning have you done now for this? Because fingers crossed it'll happen sooner rather than later. You can get back on the training pitch, but it's going to have to be steady, isn't it? Because it's essentially like July all over again now, isn't it?
It is, and like I say, some will naturally do more than others. I mean, me personally, I've been training 4 or 5 times a week, so the lads better beware. You know, when we get back training, I'll be putting a few to shame. So I'm naturally motivated and you know, love to keep fit. And I'm lucky where we work. We have a facility where I'm able to train with one of the lads I work with. So that's been an absolute blessing in disguise, certainly for us. But I know how difficult it is for people when they're working from home and they've got kids and they've got homeschooling, and how difficult it is if they've got to go out in the evening. It's not easy. You know, we appreciate that. I mean, we have to take that into account with a lot of the players, that it's just not might have been, you know, physically possible for them to get out to do anything. So we're going to have to be very careful in how we manage the players and, you know, the physicality side of things, and ease them back in gently.
And with that regard, final question, really, Martin. I mean, how much are you looking forward to getting back on the training pitch and having those tentative steps of getting back to normal as and when it's safe to do so?
I can't wait. You know, it's crazy how your Tuesday and Thursday nights, it just seems so long now. The weekends just seem to last forever. Preparation on a Friday night, travelling to a game on a Saturday, the camaraderie, win, lose or draw. You're then discussing the game Saturday night. Sunday, then you're analysing the videos of the games. It's non-stop, and it just keeps you occupied, and you have a lot of thinking time. It's been great in terms of quality time with friends and family, but, you know, ultimately, anybody who's involved in football at this level. You know, it's our life. It's all we know. It's all we want to do. So, yeah, I can't wait to get back and just that buzz, especially with the crowd and the supporters and the celebrations. Yeah, I just can't wait.
Ilkeston Town manager Martin Carruthers there joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Next up on this week's edition of the Northern Premier League podcast, we're going to be talking about another podcast, and that takes us to the Marine Official podcast. Episode 1 has now landed on YouTube, and joining us now down the other end of the phone, you should be joined by the host of Marine's Official podcast. It's Tom Clark. Well, Tom, a big thank you for joining us, and the official Marine podcast is out now. Tell us a bit more about the podcast and where the idea for the show's come from.
Yeah, it was part of, obviously we've had a lot of new followers on social media recently after the Tottenham game, so James Daly, the CEO, I'm sure you know, suggested it to me. It was something I thought about before, to be honest, but I wasn't sure how many listeners it would get, but obviously with the new social media followers, we thought it might be a good idea, and especially with being a likely no football as well for the rest of the season at our level, we thought it might be a good way to get keep people engaged. So that's why we've gone ahead with it.
And it's not just a podcast, really, is it? It's more a vodcast as well, because it's available on YouTube and you've got the visuals there. So tell us about the technology behind it and how easy or difficult it is to set something like this up.
Yeah, it's dead easy. Yeah, we just record over Zoom. We literally record a Zoom call, which is very straightforward, and then we use the audio on Spotify and we upload the video to YouTube as well, so it gives people the option to obviously watch it on YouTube or listen on Spotify as well. So it's gone down really well for the first week or so. We've had more listeners than I thought. It's doing really well. Yeah, it's really easy. If another club were to want to set one up, it's literally just record the Zoom call, which is obviously very easy, and then just uploading it onto YouTube itself. And I use Buzzsprout for Spotify, which was recommended by one of our guests, actually, who we had on the first week. But it's really straightforward, and I would recommend it to any other club at the moment to keep up content during a time like this.
And you mentioned the FA Cup. That takes us to episode one, and obviously that features quite heavily. I'm no stranger to this, having to try and do podcasts like this during COVID with not much football to actually talk about. But there's so many stories and stuff like that. Like, what could people look forward to over the coming weeks?
Yeah, there's loads coming up. Yeah, I'm not even sure myself yet what we've got planned out. But now we've got like loads of little anecdotes. So I'll have some players on in the next couple of weeks and talk about who I've got. I think I've got Neil Kenji lined up as well, and I'll be asking about his crossbar shot in the FA Cup game. So one of the ones I told about our captain finding him screaming in the showers about how cold the showers were. That was one of the stories I told in the first episode. There's loads of little anecdotes like that coming up, and the aim of it is just to have a laugh as well, kind of provide some lighthearted content in a difficult time. So it's not all going to be serious stuff. It's going to be a laugh as well. So I'm sure that'll get people into it as well. So if you do want to give it a listen, it'll just be a informal, casual conversational kind of thing.
And I'll give you one last plug for the podcast in a second, but just a general feeling overall, Tom, about how the season's gone thus far for Marine. It's you've had worse seasons, I'd suggest.
Yeah, one of the most successful. We've only played 7 league games, which is as many as we played there, or we played more in the FA Cup actually now. So it's been a very strange season that way, that we've played more FA Cup games than we played league games, and we somehow managed to have a very successful season, one of the most notable in the club's history, having only played 7 league games. It's been very strange in that way, but there's still hype around the club. I still go each week to do some community work to help out. The club's still buzzing. Still got people walking past and through the gate of the stadium, because obviously all eyes were on us and stuff. And it was just the opportunity of lifetime. I'm still buzzing off it. I'm still coming down off it, to be honest. And it's going to take a while, but I'm anticipating the season to end in terms of league football. But for me, that was enough of a season.
Yeah, it was tremendous, wasn't it? Really. And like you touched upon there about the community work and stuff like that. I mean, that's what this podcast can bring as well. It's that you're keeping supporters engaged with the club even when there's no football happening. And you know, those stories there about all the great community work the club does, you know, that could feature in the podcast in the coming weeks too.
Exactly, yeah, I think I will. I'll be having Graham Gardner, our community director, on to talk about the work we've been doing, because I've been getting involved as well. We've been giving Zoom lessons to all the people in the community so that they can keep in touch with their loved ones and their family and friends during lockdown, which has been really important work. And I think this podcast as well can obviously, and yours as well, obviously can keep fans and non-league entertained while there is no non-league football going on. So it's very important work, isn't it? And I think if it puts a smile on people's faces in a time like this, then we've done our jobs, haven't we?
We have. Final point, then, Tom. Just a quick plug for the podcast, available on Spotify, other podcast providers, or is it just Spotify for now, and as well as YouTube, of course?
Yeah, just Spotify and YouTube at the moment. We may branch out to the other podcast providers. That was just our first episode that came out last week. So we'll look at branching out if there is demand to upload to other podcast providers as well. But yeah, at the moment, just Spotify and YouTube.
And who's on this show this week?
So we released our first episode on Monday, and that was Martin Bahaja of the Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust. So we thought we'd best treasure that bond with Tottenham fans. So we got him on the show to talk quite a lot about Tottenham Hotspur, about the FA Cup game, obviously, as well, and the lead up to it, and all things from the game. So that was what we had on this week. And obviously, as I mentioned, Neil Kenji will be on next week. So we can look forward to that as well.
Host of the official Marine podcast, Tom Clark, there joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And that's it for this week's edition of the show. A big thank you to both Tom and Marty for joining me this week. Remember, for the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all have a lovely and safe week. Bye-bye.